Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 194 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is program number 296. Get your papers, pencils, and pens ready to take notes, and also to, if you'd like, at the end of the program, to order program number 296. And Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. We have some songs. We've got testimonials. We have an excerpt from one of Hitler's speeches in English. And I'll do my best to portray it as well as I can. And we have some testimonials and a strong Bible message from the 16th chapter of Numbers. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name. Throughout eternity, you are a wonderful God, and we praise you and thank you. You are holy and precious, living Christ, Father in Christ and Holy Spirit. Without you, we could have nothing or do anything. The very breath that we breathe is the breath that you give us. The food that we eat is the food that you give us in abundance. You've given us a place to live here on planet Earth where there's something in the soil and in seeds that cause us to be replenished with the food we eat and all the minerals and vitamins that we need to sustain life. And the sun that you give us that stops us from freezing to death. And also the sun that you give us gives us vitamin C and vitamin D and makes us healthy. Even flowers cannot grow or grass or anything. And we cannot live a good, healthy life without sunshine. Lord, we thank you for the commonwealth, those of us that are born again of the Spirit, the commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven, which is eternal life, healing, power and dominion over sin, Satan, the world, death, hell, and the grave. And we thank you, Lord, that we have power over devils. We can lay hands on the sick and they recover. We are able to cast out devils. We are able to, in a corrupt world, remain holy because we lay long time before your feet in the kingdom of God, and we sit with you in the throne in heavenly places. Lord, anoint us, and Lord, I thank you that you give me the things to pray. You want me again to pray this evening to bind every satanic power of darkness, and you want the entire Christian realm to pray that God will destroy every power of darkness, because you sent me here on this earth, Lord, and filled me with the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and gave me eternal life, and gave me the direction that I am now on to warn the world of how close it is to the end of time, and to warn the world from deception of the Antichrist regime, the Catholic cult, the hierarchy of it. Most of the people in the Catholic Church, most of them are not saved. They don't know the truth. They don't even know about a born-again experience. And they've seen not the... They've never seen, Father, the things that the Vatican is doing, and they don't realize that they are the mother of every abomination on the face of this earth. We know that because you said so. The church, the cult, Satan's church that sits in the city of the... Satan's seat is in the city of the seven mountains, and that's Rome. It's the richest, most diabolical, most evil, the one that's tortured and murdered millions of people for centuries and up to this very time. They are doing everything. Satan has come out of the closet, and everyone that has a thinking mind with any intelligence whatsoever can know that we've given our nation away to the United Nations, 200 nations that have, we're only one vote there, and 199 of them can vote that all of our industry should go to Japan, and that are for automobiles, for television and radios, for CD players and tape players, all the different things that the iPods, all these things we gave away to Japan because that the United Nations voted 199 votes against our one. And so we're no longer a sovereign nation, a sovereign meaning a nation that is by itself, that was able to whip the pants off of all the other nations in the world if we needed to. But now we have to rely on the Vatican, who tells everyone what to vote, how to vote, and what to vote for. Okay, and then we gave away all of our industry, the clothing industry, to China and the Chinese countries and other countries. And so what they are doing, and all many other items, they are breaking the backbone of this once sovereign and holy nation, a nation, one nation indivisible with liberty, not being bound to a UN that doesn't care at all for our concerns, but one nation that was able to worship you, and we would not be taking the Bible out of schools because other nations that believe in other things than we do, other than God, wants us to take the Bibles out of school. And the Pope, the Vatican, says, yes, well, it's an even vote. It's a fair vote. So, Father, we ask that you destroy those that agree with the Antichrist. If they won't get saved, Lord, then put an end to them. All these people that have tricked the naive people of the United States of America out of everything that they have, to where now we have the homeless on the streets and people have to work two and three jobs to make it. There are no labor unions in Japan and in China. And this is what painted us out the door, to where now we cannot compete with the price of automobiles or any of the other things that are manufactured no longer in our country. So, Father, let everyone in this country, we've had it. And you still, the people of the United States still don't know it. Lord, open their brains, their hearts, their minds, and souls to receive the things that they hear, that you give me to preach and teach. Let them know it so that they can pray to you to destroy the satanic force of evil that is in the world and that has taken this country over. It really vexes any of us that have the knowledge of what's going on to see it happening and see the naive people be deceived as they are, as you said they'd be deceived in the last days. You stated that the whole world would be deceived, the people of the world, the carnal people, and they are deceived. They have blind, evil, wicked leaders. And they've all fallen into the ditch. Now, it may not seem that there's going to be any retribution for this, that there won't be any judgment on the things that these people have done. But, Lord, you've told me that you're coming back to earth. You're going to be pouring out your plagues on the earth now, and you're coming back to earth again soon. And so let this be a warning, for this is the Lord speaking right through me. Let this be a warning from the Almighty God to you deceived people in the world. That you're going to be, if you're in the body of the Antichrist, rather than the body of Christ, then you're going to be spending eternity in hell and in the lake of fire. That's for eternity, burning, screaming your heads off, but no relief ever. Not throughout eternity, and eternity never ends. So consider that and take notes. Lord, we ask that you, through this broadcast, will save souls, lost souls, and that you will quicken those that are in your body already, that are tossing it back and forth in their minds, in their consciences, in their soul, as to whether they're going to make their will to do your will, or if they're just going to throw in the towel and do the will of the Antichrist, or just to do their what they think is their own will. Lord, that souls will be saved. Let them receive what I'm saying, and that the church is strengthened. Lord, we ask it. I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, the reason that we know that the Lord's coming back to earth again is because even Hitler, as evil and wicked as he was, he had directions from the Vatican. I have a statement here from him. He says, I cannot build the future of the German nation on the assurance of a foreign statesman or on any international help. In other words, I'm not joining the United Nations, but only on the real facts of production. Well, he knew that once that he joined the United Nations that all production might be given away to the United States or to Rome, Italy, or wherever. Because when you give your sovereignty away, just like Esau gave his birthright away, then you've given away the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights and everything that we own and given it to Rome. And that's what happened. But I will say, in other words, I cannot build the future of the United States of America and the body of Christ on the assurance of a satanic foreign statesman or any other satanic antichrist international help, but only on the real facts of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can have production in this country that nobody else can take our production away from us. But as soon as we would join the United Nations, then we would no longer be a sovereign nation, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. We were strong enough, as I said, to whip the pants off of any nation. But they fired MacArthur, and they fired Patton, because they knew that we could win any nation, because they were weak next to us. We had the production. But now there were one of 200 nations in the United Nations, and so the Vatican says, well, we have to have a vote, and they say it very calmly, we have to have a vote. So 199 jealous nations vote against us. Let's give the automobile industry, the television industry, the radio industry, and all components of different entertainment centers to Japan. So that really, automobiles away from us? Well, that will shut down the steel mills in Cleveland. And all of these people will be out of work, as they say in Germany, arbeiten. So we can't build. So Hitler was saying, these are the facts of production. He says, we won't be able to produce maybe anything if the 199 countries vote against us. But alas, the Vatican positioned itself in our country to take away all of our industry. the shirt makers, the garment makers, that it goes to China, they thought. They thought that would be nice. And the labor unions, they said to raise the cost of employment up. That's a simple thing to do if you're the world dictator. I could do it, you could do it. Then Hitler goes on to say, and I'm not one of Hitler's fans, I'm Jewish. I'm a Hebrew Christian. If it is to be the task of the United Nations to guarantee Germany and the existing state of the world and to safeguard it for all time, in other words, they guarantee that they're going to safeguard all the nations in the world. The only one that had anything really was us. We didn't need them. And Hitler's saying, even in the state that he was in, that he didn't need them. Then, Hitler says, to safeguard, if we're going to give the safeguard of the world in the United States, or Germany, he says, to the UN, 200 different nations, then we might as well entrust also the UN with the task of guarding the high tide and the low tide. In other words, the ocean. Do you think the United Nations can guard the ocean?
No.
Or the moon when it goes up, or the sun when it goes up and comes down? No, but the Vatican has, with their propaganda, has made you to believe that the United Nations, Hitler is saying, is God. It's the Antichrist. It's not God. It's anti-God. Amen?
Amen.
If it were God, do you think that the Bibles would be coming out of the schools and that it would be a sin to preach the Bible?
No.
And that they would start burning down Christian churches like they do?
No.
No. Okay, so even Hitler was smart enough to know that they're not that great. They're not great at all. They're the Antichrist. They're the devil, even though he's the devil himself. But the Vatican was telling him all these things to say. So, you know, he's saying, well, then why don't we just give the guardianship to the United Nations to regulate the high and low tide and the future direction of the Gulf Stream? And when people are going to be born and when they're going to die. German sovereignty is what Hitler says. And equality have been restored. But that hasn't happened here in the United States or the rest of the world, and not Germany anymore either. Because of his stand that he would not let the United Nations start ruling his sovereign nation. German sovereignty and equality have been restored, Hitler said, and that Germany will never sign a treaty which is in any way incompatible with the honor of the nation of Germany. Can you just see Hitler saying that? Well, we're not supposed to be signing any treaty with any ungodly foreign nations unless we want them to take the honor and the blessing of God away from the nation of the United States of America and the world, and to do away with, as far as they think they can, Christianity. That's where all this is coming in. All the false accusations against Christians is what they do. We have pictures of Catholic nuns. They have babies and they throw them in the basement of monasteries. And this is, we've got pictures of it. You people that are duped, you've been brainwashed. You don't believe it, even if you see the pictures of it. We have pictures of them marching in parades, these nuns and priests, with swastika flags with swastikas on them. And we have them holding the heads of different people that they've killed in their hands, and they're all smiling. So the United Nations, Hitler said, is not compatible with the honor of the nation of Germany. And they certainly are not, they are not in any way incompatible with the honor of the nation. They can't have compassion. They just go by vote. And there's more of them, these little nations that don't have anything. They all vote, yeah, give us the wealth of America. Yes, give us the automobile industry. Yes, give us the garment industry and all the other industries that they have raped away from us. And Hitler goes on to say, and the government which represents it. I'll read that again. Germany will never sign a treaty which is in any way incompatible with the honor of the nation and of the government which represents it. In other words, we have signed a treaty with the United Nations that if they give away everything we have here, and if they come in here with guillotines to murder Christians like the Vatican has done for years, for centuries, so we signed that. Not we Christians, and you people believe them. But even Hitler was smarter than you. So, you're worse than Hitler, some of you out there. The government which represents it. So, the government of Germany would not sign any treaty that would take away from the honor of the nation, of the government of Germany, which represents it, anything that would represent Germany. And this is what the way we should have been for the United States, because we had it all. And then we went and gave it away with the false premise that they were going to defend us. We didn't need anybody to defend us. We had the strongest Army, Navy, and Marines in the world. Or which are otherwise incompatible with Germany's vital interests. Well, the United Nations not interested in our interests. They're sending all of our young men and women over to all these nations and they're being killed. We don't have any business over there and they don't have any business here. According to the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights, we're one nation. One nation. Uno. Nation under God. But now they are making the people in the United States take the word God out of school and out of the courtrooms and everywhere. How long do you think God is going to bless this nation? So even Germany says they're not going to sign anything that will not represent the best interest of Germany. It's a vital interest, and therefore, in the long run, can not be kept. Then Hitler goes on to say, with all my heart, I hope that the intelligence and goodwill of the responsible German people, the European governments, will succeed in spite of all opposition. Because he took over most of Europe. And the people in England saying they're not part of Europe. But they are. So it doesn't make any difference how much the United States would have been opposed. We should have never given up our sovereignty because now we're ruined. And you're too naive, some of you out there, to even know it. You're not close enough to the Lord to know it. In preserving, he says, we need to preserve peace here. And we need to preserve peace in the United States of America. But do we have peace now? Then he goes on to say, and I would agree with this point, that peace is our dearest treasure. But the Lord said that all peace would be taken away from the earth because what we've done is we've united ourselves with the Antichrist United Nations, which is headed by Rome, which is the Antichrist head, which is, the Bible says, is run by that great red dragon, the devil. Then Hitler says, when I look upon the work of the past 4 years, my first feeling is of gratitude to the Almighty, as though he were a vessel of the Almighty, who made it possible, and who has blessed our work and enabled us to pass through all obstacles. First Germany, then Sie Welt! So if it's just first Germany, then Germany can't belong to the United Nations. Amen?
Amen.
So if we were of God, we would have never joined an antichrist satanic organization like the United Nations. And therefore, we would have the blessing of God, and God would fight our battles for us, just as he did in Scripture. And I'm going to be reading some Scriptures tonight that are going to show you how powerful God really is. The whole Bible is filled with the different, it seemed, impossible situations for Christians and for the people of Israel. And yet God undertook and delivered them from all their troubles. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, after that exhortation, which is twisted by Hitler, I kind of straightened it out, but he was even smarter than the people of the United States. But the people, the presidents of the United States, were Vatican puppets, and so it was no big problem for the Vatican to cause them to vote for the United Nations. Eisenhower, they fired MacArthur and Patton and put Eisenhower, who was a one-worlder. And all the people were saying, I like Ike, I like Ike. He brought us right in. He was for the UN. He was for the taking away the sovereignty of the United States of America. All these presidents were that way. They're puppets of the Vatican, or they'd never be president. And if you look in the dictionary, Bolsheviks, which Hitler was against, is, we're going to read that later. That's in the dictionary. You can look it up. And it says that it's democracy, dictatorship. And that's what you have. Bottom line is, Bolshevik government is a democratic government. So you people are Bolsheviks. Now, when the Bible says that God is going to take vengeance on all the people of the world, and the whole world is deceived, but the Bible also says that we Christians, born-again Christians, are not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. The people of the world are deceived. And hopefully those of you that are hearing this broadcast, that you're not deceived. Okay? So now, after this exhortation, I'd like to sing a little song for you. Because I sing little songs that have great meanings. This is about the book of Revelation, where John, Apostle John, who wrote also the book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of John, and he is the one that revealed who the Antichrist was. It said he was saying that it was a body, a corporate body of Antichrist people that made up the man, the Antichrist. It's just like the man Christ Jesus. We are a corporate body, all of us members of his corporate body, of that man, that God-man Christ Jesus. And the devil wants to move into the temple. And who do you think the temple is? The temple is you. Don't you know that you are the temple of God? And that he moves into you. It's just like people that have been in this church and other born-again Christian churches. And because they start really reading the entire Bible, and they say, man, we don't want to deprive ourselves. We don't want to take up the cross and follow the Lord. We want to just live a free and easy life. Well, that's what we want. a life of ease. Well, you'll never get into heaven that way. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus said we must deny ourselves now that we're saved, and now we must pick up the cross and follow him. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So, here I am with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps. We were on the scene over at the Johnny Cash Studio in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And we, I decided, and they wanted to sing with me, John the Revelator. John the Apostle saw a mighty number, and here we are, John.
Well, and I, John, saw a mighty number way up in the middle of the air. Well, I, John, saw a mighty number moving way up in the middle of the air. Mighty, well, I, John, saw a mighty number moving way up in the middle of the air. Well, I, John, saw a mighty number moving way up in the middle of the air. Well, there were three gates in the east, and there were three gates in the west, and three gates in the north, and there were three gates in the south, and that made 12 gates to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, come mighty, you will I chance a mighty number of me. Way up in the middle of the air, will I chance a mighty number of me. Way in the middle of the air. Oh, John declared that he saw a man who had 12 bright stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John got scared and he wanted to run. Well, he wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go. Well, he felt the gospel coming like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice that said, John, take a look. Read what you see and then write a book. He saw 12 angels in the east. 12 angels in the west. 12 angels in the north, 12 angels in the south, 48 angels through the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, God, the mighty number, I chance a mighty number, way up in the middle of the air, I chance a mighty number, way in the middle of the air.
Yeah, I've got a son named Mike. He was a jockey at the track where you ride horses. And he won over 2,100 races. And he thought that was Elvis singing it. No, 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 that's me. Okay, well, that was a nice compliment, though, you know. Kind of puffed me up a little bit there, but I know better than to get puffed up. Okay, and now we have some testimonials. Where's the first one from?
Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Pine Bluff, okay. What do they have to say?
Dear Pastor Lamo, I was listening to your radio program on KAAY 1090 AM, and I love your true teachings, not the sugar-coated type like a lot of preachers teach. I also read your article in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette newspaper, and I believe how true it is what you are saying and wrote. I pray that other people will take your words to heart and realize just how close we are to the end of days. I want to ask for a copy of your newsletters you put out, plus the Messiah book. Plus, I think I heard you say on your radio program you have free Bibles. One of those would be nice also. Thank you for your time and trouble and your honesty in your preaching and teaching. I just pray others will also see the truth. God bless you in Christ. DJ from Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Yes, and another thing that, thank you, praise the Lord for these testimonials. Another thing, when you hear the media saying that Bush is sending 21,000 troops, he's not doing that. He's not the one that made that up. The Vatican is telling him to do that, and he knows very good and well if he doesn't, he would be killed, just like Kennedy was. And just like all the other assassinations in the United States, how many times do you have to read that? John Peeler Track stated that he, who was an FBI undercover agent and a BATF undercover agent, was the government was trying to hire him to assassinate me. Why me? All I do is preach the gospel and uncover the things that the devil is doing. It must mean that the devil doesn't want me to expose the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Don't you think?
Yes.
Why else? I don't want to kill anybody. I never have killed anybody. I might have stepped on an occasional ant without knowing it, or a bug or something like that, but I've never killed anybody, any human being. Or for that matter, I wouldn't even kill a skunk. My Uncle Gordon was going to kill a mother skunk with a bunch of little babies behind it, and I pulled on the rifle, and he says, if you don't stop, he says, I'll kill you. And I couldn't, because I guess I'd saw that movie Bambi, and I saw Thumper in there or whatever. Not Thumper, but Flower, I guess. Okay, and I didn't care if he shot me. I wouldn't kill an animal. I never did. Wouldn't kill a human. And how these people can do it so easy, what they're doing is dehumanizing you by showing you all these films of people being killed and slaughtered and all this. They were showing the St. Valentine's Massacre, and they said seven people were slaughtered. They were criminals. It was just horrible. It was a bloody mess. Every day, the Vatican kills thousands upon thousands of people, but they don't say anything about that. That, to me, is more gory, and all the abortions, by the hundreds of millions of abortions of the innocent, unborn children. And they say, well, they're not really children. This is like coming out of the demented mind of Satan. Amen?
Amen.
So don't believe that it's Bush doing that. He's just doing that so you'll get so angry at him that you will not point your anger at the Vatican. That's who's ordering all these things. And that's obvious. The Bible says that the Vatican, the city, the church, that, or the cult that sits in the city of the Seven Hills, is the mother of every abomination on earth. Everything evil that's happening on this earth is coming right from the mother. The mother church, the one that the Bible says the great red dragon controls and makes it do the things that it is doing, murdering hundreds and hundreds of millions of Christians and other people, Jews. And what for? Because Satan is a hater, and anyone that comes against Christian churches are of Satan. They are the devil. I mean, they pour out all these false accusations so that the general public, which they call cattle, because they figure they're so stupid, and I guess you are, otherwise you wouldn't be deceived, that you believe those things that they say about Christians and about Jesus himself. So that you don't feel guilty at all when you take him to the gallows or take him to the guillotine. But no one thing that you're going to be judged for all these things at the judgment bar of God, and judgment is coming very soon. Okay, you have another testimonial there.
Yes, from Minnesota. Dear Pastor Lamo, I read your wonderful full-page article, Difficult Mountains, in my local newspaper, the Star Tribune. I got online to request your booklet entitled The Messiah. Thank you so much for your time and for your wonderful writings. God bless you. Julie from Woodbury, Minnesota.
Praise the Lord. My time is for the Lord and to minister to people, and I really appreciate your testimony here very much. And so God is the one that's going to avenge us. And he says that he'll avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night for him. So if you're the elect of God, if you're really a Christian and not a hater of Christians and of God, and if you're not a person that believes all the dirty lies that are being told about Christians, well then, and you want God to avenge you, then cry out day and night to him. Luke, that's in Luke 18:7. He will avenge you. We see so much betrayal in the last days. The Bible says that people will betray, Christians will betray one another. Congregations that have been fed, housed, clothed, congregations that have been led to the Lord Jesus Christ and led to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, and yet they betray the people of the Lord. And we've prayed constantly before the Lord, and you can see these people rise up in the media and in courtrooms because of something in their lives that has offended them, something that gets into their craw from Satan. He enters into their hearts just as he did in Judas Iscariot. I'm going to start reading now from the 16th chapter of the book of Numbers. And the Lord here is talking about when Israel rebelled against Moses and Aaron. The people of the world now are rebelling against myself. Now Moses was led to the Lord by God speaking to him out of a burning bush. I was led to the Lord by him speaking audibly to me for many minutes in an office trying to encourage me to get up and tell the people in the room that Jesus was coming back to earth again. And I knew if I didn't convince them or if I wouldn't do it, the Lord says, do that or else ye shall surely die. And he showed me that I'd go to hell. And I never believed in heaven or hell or even God or Jesus. But I knew that what he was saying was true. And so I did it. And this is all written in a piece of literature that the Lord told me to write, which is called Dry Bones and Signs of the Time. So you can read all about it in those pieces of literature. And I thought, well, I've got to find out what God wants me to do. So I went to all kinds of churches, and they didn't preach the demand, the fear of the Lord. They weren't teaching that. They said, oh, God is all love and everything, and God never threatens anybody. But I knew that those churches were false because I knew that God scared me. Put such fear in me that I did what he said, because he threatened to throw my soul into hell, kill me and then throw my soul into hell. And he actually showed it to me in the spirit, heaven and hell. And then he made me know his immense power, this tremendous power of his, because when he came down and he was showing me all these things and saying all these things to me, I knew not only did he know every hair on my head, but I knew that he knew every fiber of carpet in everybody's house, every blade of grass and the seed that it came from. And so I knew that this was something. And then when God showed me, I went from one church to the other, and I just found out that there was nothing in these churches. As a matter of fact, when I went to the Greek Orthodox Church, they'll probably pitch a fit when they hear this. But they know it's true. You go to the big Orthodox Greek church in L.A., and you'll see that there's a huge bar in there, just like a cocktail lounge. And I went and told whoever he was, priest or the head of it, I told him my testimony. He says, come on, you want to have a drink? I says, what? I was afraid of God. God threatens people. I didn't know that you could drink. I wasn't a drinker anyway. I was into health and energy and vitality and working out with the weights and all these sort of things. But I went in there, and I didn't want anything to drink. And I went to so many of them. And then finally, after a while, I met Susie. And then she had asked me if I knew that Jesus was coming back to earth again. And so I started bringing people up to her to preach to them. And I would give my testimony, and she would preach to them and then pray them through. pretty soon she had a pretty good congregation going over there. And then the Lord showed her a vision that we were going to be married, but she didn't tell me about it. And I had a bad toothache, and I went to sleep. It went away for a while. I was eating these marshmallow cookies. What do they call them? Spinners or something?
Pinwheels,
yeah. And that got into my tooth, and it was just raging toothache. And I came back, and she promised that she was going to take me to the dentist that day. And so but I was just waiting for her to wake up because it was about 6 in the morning or something like that. And then all of a sudden the pain went away, and I was so tired I went into a deep sleep, and I saw this vision from the Lord. And it was a picture of Susie. She had on a blue velour pair of pants and a red velour sweatshirt type thing. And her hair was long before this vision, the night before. And here she had short hair. And so this vision came where I was walking into the room, and I knelt down by the couch where she was laying, and I started kissing her. And in fact, I did kiss her. And I said, "No!" And I pushed myself up from that dream vision, this dream vision, and it was saying, "Yes!" And the spirit came up, and I said, "No, Lord." So I was still awake, wide awake, and I could still see the vision. I pushed myself up from the couch, and I said, "No, Lord, she's smarter than I am." And he said, "That's good for your ego." I said, "Well, I'm just a new Christian." He says, he just kept... And then he pulled another amp, and then when I would give a question, there would be, it was two pipes, a pipe going up into heaven and another one coming down. And there were like millions of questions came out of my heart, and I didn't even know what they were. And millions upon, I don't know how many millions it was, or thousands or hundreds of millions of answers came down from this other pipe into my heart. And then the Holy Spirit was like a puffs of smoke around me saying, "It's true, it's 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 true." And it turned from color to black and white, and it was just the, it was like wrought iron, white wrought iron that was just shimmering, and it was like white hot, and it started, and it had a ring, and it went right into my head and into my soul. And when he was saying, "It's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true," so it went from color to black and white, and it just rammed right into my soul. And I don't believe Moses had that dramatic of a situation. He just saw Jesus in the burning bush. And so I know I've been called of God, and I know that God has put all the answers in me. All right?
Amen.
And so when I'm telling you something, believe it. All right?
Amen.
So the people, the congregation, were making slanderous remarks against Moses. They said, Moses was called by God as well as Aaron. God called Moses out of the burning bush, not the congregation. The congregation, in my congregation, doesn't even have a close to the kind of experience I have with the Lord. And I've had many, many other visions and dreams and wonders. And so people shouldn't second guess that I'm of the Lord, because I've won so many millions of souls to the Lord, Susie and myself, all right?
Yeah.
We're the ones that the Jesus movement started from. And so... not the congregation. God didn't talk to them, except at the Mount, finally, and he quoted the commandments to them, the law, the moral law. When they start getting puffed up, but some people, after they get to know you, and Moses was a very mild-mannered man, quite unlike myself and like the Apostle Paul. We're not all alike, you know, okay? Well, they start leaning on their own understanding. they start finding, it says, saying, you know, well, you know, and they start trying to live up to the saying that they're the same as Moses, and they are not, okay? And the people that say that they are equal to somebody that's been so highly chosen as him, Miriam came against him, and she was turned into leprosy, as I mentioned in yesterday's message. And all the people of Israel had to die because they thought they were big leaders. And they thought that many times they wanted to go back to Egypt. What kind of leaders would that be, huh? That would lead you back into the oven. They're not like Moses or Aaron. Moses, Aaron sinned, but not Moses. Until the very last, after 40 years. And some people condemn God for doing to Moses what he did, because God is no respecter of persons. If Moses sins, or you sin, or anybody, or I sin, or anybody else, doesn't matter how many visions we've had, doesn't matter what a great calling we've had, we're going to not get into heaven. Mm-hmm. Moses did, because before he died, I'm sure he got a hold of the Lord, because he was seen by the apostles on the mount when he appeared talking to Elijah, and him talking to the Lord Jesus. They think they're the same as Moses or Aaron, or that they're the same as the Apostle Paul or myself. You're not. We're highly chosen. Many are called, but few, very few are chosen. So you cannot elevate yourself to the same level as someone that's highly chosen like that. So I was going to read from the 16th chapter, verse 1, and we'll go as far as we can. We're just about out of time. Now, the beginning of this happened while where Korah rebelled against Moses and Aaron. Verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On the son of Pelath, sons of Reuben, took bed, and they rose up before Moses. Can you imagine that, rising up against them? And what about the sinner, you sinners out there that are rising up against me? Mm-hmm. Don't you think that I have a hold of God, and that you are cursed, and you're going to, you know, the Lord said vengeance is his. Just like God did in this chapter. Read it. I see my time is up, but I'm going to continue on this tomorrow. All right, Lord willing. Okay, so those of you that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and these people were saying, you're just a human being like the rest of us, and you're just in, you know, we're all holy. Well, you know, they were holy until they started rising up against Moses and Aaron, and then they became unholy. They became the devil. Amen?
Amen.
So what I would suggest to some of you people that think that you're on the same level as the highly chosen of the Lord, and you've never, ever done anything but a lot of evil in this, in the churches, you better back off and remember who you are. And especially those of you outside the church, people that are led by Satan. Hey, those of you that want to be saved, just say this prayer before the Lord. You say, well, I don't want to be saved if that's the kind of God we have. Well, that's the kind of God we have. And so if you want to go to hell and the lake of fire, then that's your call. Because the Lord doesn't force anybody to be saved and go to heaven. It has to be the will of your soul that you want to go to heaven. So if you, so no one's going to beg you. All we do is beseech you in the name of Jesus that you, for your own soul's sake, say this prayer before God and receive the Holy Spirit. Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that you, Father, raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now say this to the Lord. I open up the door of my heart, Lord Jesus, and I invite you into my heart. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know, according to your word says you cannot lie, die, or fail, that I am saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. Unless you're driving a car or something, raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. Now, Sharon, tell them four different ways to receive a copy of this program, 296. Please specify if you want a CD or a tape, audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505. Or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and make sure that you tune in tomorrow for a real powerful message from the 16th chapter of the book of Numbers. And until then, God bless you and praise the Lord. And here's H.B. Barnum's Life Choir singing the Life Prayer Song.